Good morning and greet you in Jesus' name. Good to be with you and look into God's word. I'm glad for think about a Sunday school lesson like this. I'm glad for truth. I'm glad for the word of God and that we don't we don't need to wonder like Pilate, what is truth? We have it in our hands. We can go to God's word and we can read truth and compare everything else to that standard. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to read, begin by reading one verse. Verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5 reads like this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And I've titled the message this morning, Submitting to One Another. So we often go to Ephesians chapter 5 and we like to go there to read about how marriage is supposed to work. And we read verse 21 and then we jump right into verse 22 and it says, Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And then there's all kinds of messages that come from that. Wives, submit to your husbands. And it's pretty often I look at verse 21 and I'm, so what does verse 21 mean? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And I think we understand there's a lot of authorities in our life. There are authorities in our life that we understand that we submit ourselves to. We understand this thing that God has established an order of headship and we submit ourselves to that. And part of that is the wife submitting to her husband. Part of it is on down in chapter 6. It's children, obey your parents in the Lord. And verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. And we can go to Romans 13, and we have a passage that tells us that we're to be subject to the higher powers, and it's talking about civil authority. Hebrews 13, verse 17, we're called to submit to those that have the rule over us. It's talking about church leaders. But what does it mean here in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another? Paul is, the book of Ephesians is written to the church and to the body of Christ and to believers. And he's speaking to us this morning and it was written for us. And so I'd like to look at this this verse in particular and this idea of submitting to one another. And what does it mean and how does it work out in our life and in congregational life and among other Christians? I'd like to read verses 18 to 21. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then the next couple of verses, I believe, are the characteristics of a person or what it means to be filled with the Spirit. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So I believe that one of the characteristics of being Spirit-filled and being filled with the Spirit is submitting ourselves to each other and being willing to allow that to work out in our lives. And I said that it's one of the characteristics of being filled with the Spirit. And we understand that submission and submitting to someone or something else runs so counter to our carnal nature. We like it our way. And we don't, naturally, we don't like to submit. It also says in verse 21 that we're supposed to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. We submit And one of the reasons we submit is to each other and to the authorities that God places in our life. It's because we do it out of reverence and love for God, because it's His command and because it was His plan for us. I'd like to look at a number of scriptures that deal with this subject. Just in the beginning here, 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's turn there. First Peter chapter 5, and we have a very similar very similar verse. The beginning of first four verses, especially of chapter 5, is talking to church leaders. He's talking to the elders. He tells them to feed the flock of God. You take the oversight. Verse 3, neither being as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And then in verse 5, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. He says here in the beginning of verse 5 that, and he clarifies it a little bit. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. And then he says, yea, all of you, be subject one to another. And he makes it much broader. And we get back to this thing again of all of us, and just paraphrasing this, the way I believe Peter is saying this is, all of you, be subject to all of you, is what he's saying. And it certainly takes humility, and we can't be proud and selfish and still have the ability to obey this command. Let's turn back to Mark chapter 10. And this is Jesus giving some teaching on this subject. Mark chapter 10 and verses 42 to 45, but Mark chapter 10, we have verse 35. We have James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto Jesus, and I believe one of the passages says it was their mother that came with them. But they had a plan. They had something to propose to Jesus and said, we'd like if when you establish your kingdom, and they had this idea that this was going to be right over here in Jerusalem, and they were going to. Jesus was going to establish a kingdom on this world, in this world, and they had a request for Jesus. One of us would like to sit on your right hand, and the other one would like to sit on the left. And we know the story. Jesus said, you know, are you able to suffer and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And yeah, we can do that. And Jesus went on to say that that's really not mine to give, where you sit in my kingdom. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. And then Jesus stepped in, and he gave them some teaching on this thing of submission, and who's in control, and about control, and all of that. But verses 42 to 45, Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Rather than, Jesus was basically telling his disciples here, rather than looking to be in control, and to be served. Jesus was calling his disciples and his followers to look for ways to serve others. And that's submission. And it's as we submit to that plan that we can find true satisfaction in living for the Lord and filling our place and where he has called us here. Philippians 2 and verses 1 to 8. And this is a very familiar passage. And it's a passage that I believe it was Apostle Paul that wrote this. But he's calling us to follow Jesus' example in this. I'm going to read the first 8 verses of Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And this is the example that Jesus left us. If anyone would have had the right not to submit, we think it would be Jesus. He was, after all, he was God. And it says that he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the lowliest form of a lowly servant and was made in the likeness of man, was made in the likeness of his creation, and then he was willing to die at the hands of his creation, the hands of sinful mankind. And certainly, what an example of submission. And it's something that we're called on, you and I are called on to follow and emulate. I like to think of this thing of submitting to one another, especially in the brotherhood and in the body of Christ. I like to think of it as a one-lane bridge. You know, sometimes you come to these old roads and maybe it's a nice road, and all of a sudden it necks you right down to a one-lane bridge, and there's only room for one car to cross at a time. I don't know if it costs too much to replace the bridge or what, but they let that bridge stand. And on either side, on both sides of that bridge, it says yield to oncoming traffic. Yield to oncoming traffic. And there's usually a sign on both sides. It doesn't say that we're to yield to traffic that's bigger than us, or yield to traffic, or yield to cars that are newer than you, but it says yield to oncoming traffic. We're called to submit to one another. It doesn't say submit to those that are over you. Well, there is a verse that says that, but there's not a lot of qualifications in this verse in Ephesians chapter 5. These verses that I read call us to submit to each other and be subject to one another, and they don't give us a lot of qualifications. And so the question that I was working through is, so how does submitting to one another in the brotherhood and in the church, how does that look? And how do we submit to each other in a practical way? And maybe you'll think till the message is over that I'm making this umbrella much bigger than it should be made. But I think Paul had a lot in mind when he talked about submitting to one another. And I have 5 or 6 different areas that I believe areas that I believe this involves in submitting to one another. And number one, to submit to one another. And in submitting to one another, it means that we're going to practice the golden rule. Luke 6:31, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And we learned that verse when we were probably a preschooler. We learned that, and we knew it as the golden rule. But I believe it's one of the things that we need to practice in brotherhood and in our churches, is that we practice the golden rule. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Very simple, and yet sometimes it's pretty hard to live it out. And we're fairly selfish. And we're fairly we like to take pretty good care of ourselves. And many times it's at the expense of others. Number two, show genuine interest in the lives of others. And we read the verse. I'd like to go back to Philippians chapter 2. Read the verse there, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We naturally, as I said, we tend to be fairly selfish. We tend to be fairly self-centered and self-focused. And this thing of submission and submitting to one another involves getting our eyes off of ourselves and showing interest in the lives of others. Instead of it means that, you know, we all have our challenges and we all have the problems that we think are pretty big and we think we have to deal with, and we're focused on that, and we we're trying to work through those problems. And maybe instead of getting so focused on that, maybe it's time that we look not every man on our own things, but look beyond ourselves and look for ways to help others with the problems that they're facing. And let's remember that we're not the only ones with problems. And there are others that are facing situations that are much more complex and harder than ours. I believe it's a great way, as we look on the things of others, it's a great way not only to benefit them and be a blessing to others, but many times it helps us to realize that, you know, maybe the things that I thought were so big and so complex, maybe they're not so complex after all. And maybe I'm too focused on my own things, and maybe I'm just plain selfish. Show a genuine interest in the lives of others. It's part of submitting to one another. Number three, be willing to extend forgiveness and restoration to your brother when he falls. And I'm just going to read a verse from Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Be willing to extend forgiveness and restoration. And it's going to happen. There's going to be those that offend us. There's going to be those that fall. And there's times that we're going to fall. And there's times that we're going to need forgiveness. But the challenge here is, when our brother falls, that instead of holding him at arm's length, instead of keeping track of all this, we extend forgiveness. And forgiveness is a form of submission. Submitting to one another is when we yield to another person. And forgiveness is yielding the right of resentment or revenge to those who have wronged or hurt us. That's really what forgiveness is. And forgiveness is necessary for there to be restoration. And forgiveness takes resignation and laying down of our own rights and the things that we think we have the right to. It's yielding that for the sake of forgiveness. Number four, another area that we need to submit in is respect the convictions of our brother. Protect those with we respect the convictions of our brother, but we also protect those that maybe have an oversensitive conscience. I'd like to just turn to Romans chapter 14 and read a couple of verses from chapter 14 and 15. Fairly familiar passage. I read over this sometimes, and I'm not exactly sure how to take it all, but Romans chapter 14. I'd like to read verses, first of all, verse 14 and 15. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. And then verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. And then dropping down to chapter 15 and verses 1 and 2, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And I believe what Paul was talking about and in this passage was say meat that was offered to idols. And Paul said, I know, and I'm persuaded that there's nothing unclean of itself. But if there is someone that believes it is unclean, for me to just act like, you know, he's off in left field. He doesn't. We're not dealing charitably with him. Now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Submitting to each other may mean that we give up some things because we know how our brother feels about it, whether it's valid or not. You know, a lot of us, you know, maybe we see someone that has a conviction, or maybe it's simply an oversensitive conscience, and you know, maybe we could sit down with him and we could try to argue this thing out and try to show him, and he's still not quite convinced. Are we willing to just lay some things down for the sake of our brother, and willing to give some things up? And at the very least, are we willing to not belittle or attack his position? Or are we out to prove our point? Are we out to make sure that he understands that his position isn't valid? In 1 Corinthians 8, we have some more. Paul talks about this a little more. Verse 9, it says, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. It's possible for our position to be a stumbling block. It's possible for us to offend our brother. And then verse 13, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now that's submission. When we're willing to lay some things down that are perfectly okay, we're willing to lay that down for the sake of our brother, that we're not offensive to him. Along with this, Sometimes maybe it's not that our brother has an oversensitive conscience, but maybe our conscience has some problems And maybe our conscience needs to be sharpened up. And maybe our conscience is calloused in a way that it should be. Am I willing to be challenged by my brother? And am I willing to hear him? And am I willing to realize that I may not have all the answers, and I may need to relook at this, and maybe I do need to examine my position on this particular subject. Let's be careful to respect the convictions of our brother, protect those with an oversensitive conscience, and let's be willing to be challenged by our brother. It's part of submission. Number five, look for ways to effect unity. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, the first number of verses, again, first seven verses of 1 Peter chapter 3 are talking about husbands and wives and their relationship. And then he goes on in verse 8 and he says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Unity is our goal. But you know, there's a lot of different areas that we don't think exactly the same. And what are we gonna do about it? Is the answer that we all think exactly the same? Is that true unity? What are we going to do about it when we don't think exactly the same? And I think it's ideal when we can, in a lot of situations and a lot of subjects, we think basically the same on. But the fact is, there's going to be a lot of areas where we don't think exactly the same. And what are we going to do about it when we don't? Number one is, I believe we need to be willing to talk it out. And we need to be willing to admit that we have differences. And we need to put those differences on the table. And, you know, the easiest thing is that we just kind of shove it all to the side and just let's pretend we all think the same. And let's not talk about things that we don't agree on. Talk about it. It takes submission to listen to the views of others and hear others. And, you know, if you're like me, when you sit down and you talk about differences, pretty often for me, it's like, while he's talking, I'm getting my next talking point ready. And that's kind of how we naturally do it, or the way I naturally do it. We tend to be thinking about our comebacks. And so how can I make my point here? True submission is really listening and trying to understand the views of our brother. And a lot of times we won't be able to do that if we're trying to prepare our next talking point. Many times, as we're willing to talk these differences out, and maybe they're perceived differences, and many times I believe our differences aren't so great as they first may have seemed. And that's always great when that can happen. And maybe the talking it out, it's just helping we learn to understand each other in a better way. Another thing that we can do when we don't always think the same on things, sometimes it calls for compromise. And I believe not all compromise is bad. There's times when there's things that are okay to compromise on, you know, we never compromise on truth. We know that. We don't compromise truth so that somehow we can keep a relationship from falling apart. We don't do that. But there are things that we can compromise, and sometimes it means adjusting our thinking to fit into the thinking of the brotherhood or with our brother. And are we willing to do that? It's part of submission to be willing to adjust my thinking. You know, we all think, I think that the things, the place I come out on things is about right. If I wouldn't think that way, why I'd come out at a different place. We believe that where we are, that's we came to a right conclusion. Sometimes we need to be willing to lay that down and admit that there are other ways of doing it. Number three, another thing that we need to do sometimes when we don't agree on things, sometimes we need to admit that there are some things that we're just not going to agree on. And the end of verse 8 has the answer for that. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. We don't need to attack each other when we don't agree on something. And there are some things that it's okay to disagree on. And we don't need to always agree on everything. And that too is submission. As we're willing to admit that, it's okay to disagree on some things. And but when that happens, we respect each other and we're courteous with each other. And we continue to love as brother, like Peter says. Number six, and this is the last one I have in relation to submitting to one another. Fill your responsibility in the body of Christ to the best of your ability. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I'd like to read verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's talking about the body of Christ and each person filling their part, every joint being perfectly joined together and doing their part. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, another passage that deals with this. And it's a very familiar passage. I'm not going to read near all of it. I'd like to break in at verse 14 and read verses 14 to 20. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? The whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? The whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And this passage is such a beautiful picture of how the body of Christ is supposed to work. You know, you take any one of the members of our body, an ear or an elbow or a hand or a finger or a toenail or anything, and that in itself is not going to accomplish much. What are you going to do with just an elbow? But as each of these parts and members work together, why we have the human body, and it's a wonder. It's a wonder of God's creation. God has given each member of the body, each member of our physical body, is a place to fill, and he's fixed that all up, and it works so great. But it's also, he has given each member of the body of Christ a gift and a responsibility, the responsibility to make a contribution to the body of Christ. He's given us each gifts and abilities, whether you think you have one or not. God has given you a gift. and an ability that he's expecting you to use in the body of Christ. He's given you that responsibility. Submitting to each other means that we take that responsibility seriously. And by our contribution, do what we can to be a blessing to the rest of the members of the body. I really believe that. That's part of submission. As we take our responsibility serious and accept the gifts that God has given us and maybe develop them and build them with the intention of not bringing credit to ourselves, but intentionally blessing others with that gift and with that responsibility. Not only does submitting mean that we take our responsibility serious, but submitting to each other also means that we allow the other members of the body to fulfill their responsibility and allow them to bless our lives through their contribution. You know, I can't do it all. As much as I like to think that I'm pretty self-sufficient and I can do it, I can handle it, we need each other. If I'm the eye, I also need the ear. The body also needs the fingers and the hands and all the other members of the body. If I'm the ear, you know, I do the rest of the members a big disservice by trying to be the eye too. I do everybody else a big disservice. Submitting means that I take the responsibility that God gave me. I take that serious and I do the best I can with that. And I let the eye be the eye and I let the elbow be the elbow and the toenail be the toenail and all those things. Submission, I believe, is each of us filling our part and accepting the contribution the other members make to the body. Our contribution to the body is one of service, and it's to be one of service. It's not a talent show, but it's to be one of service, and it's part of submission. Let's submit to one another. Let all of us be subject one to another. It's an exercise of humility and forbearance and service. And all we need to do is go to Jesus' example. We have the perfect example in submitting to one another. Let's kneel for prayer.